We're looking in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. You might want to grab a Bible that's nearby, etc. Just the first 7 verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him. And he was found by them. In those days it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the land were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong, and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." Be strong, don't give up, your work will be rewarded. This is one of those moments in the Old Testament, and they're relatively common, as we've seen actually through these Sunday nights, where somebody wanders onto the scene for a moment. There's a brief account of something they do or something that they say or something that happens to them, and they're never ever to be seen again. And Azariah is such a person. He is raised up, it seems, for a specific time to aid God's purposes for the nation of Judah. So rare is he, seemingly so insignificant, that in the back of my Bible, where there is, a concordance and a name checker, he doesn't even make it into the concordance, all right? That clearly must be the true statement of importance in the scriptures, whether it's in the back of my concordance or not. But he's not there. So this is his only appearance in the whole of the scriptures, these few verses here. Kind of is raised up, he says his piece, and then he's off again somewhere else, never to appear again. And the first lesson, I think, to learn from Azariah and how God deals with him is that God is in the business of raising people up for a task that he wants doing. So remember how time and time again we have seen in the Old Testament the Spirit of God coming on specific people at specific times to do a specific thing. So here he is once again, the Spirit of the Lord raising Azariah to the surface, or perhaps to the consciousness of King Asa, in order that the word of God might be heard by the king and the course of the nation changed. And actually, all over the place, we see that happening, where God is raising somebody up for a role, or he is clearly at work in somebody's life, preparing people for something that he has for them. We see it across the church, God bringing people to us, for such a time, or clearing things out of their life for such a time that particular work may be done or a new emphasis of the kingdom discovered. And so as a leader, I'm always on the lookout for people whom the Spirit is raising up. Who is it that seems to have a sense of the Lord's presence on them? Who is it who's showing a new consciousness or a new awareness of the things of God? Who is it that seems to be involved in things? Who is it that the Lord is using to move people as they pray? Or who is it the Lord's using to prophesy or to minister in different ways? And that can never actually be manufactured. Occasionally we might sort of get that discernment process wrong, but on the whole, it's easy to spot somebody who's pretending or who's wanting to raise themselves up. We're on the lookout as the Lord's people, for who it is that the Lord is raising up. Who is it that by his Spirit for such a time he's putting into place? And we're praying, of course, that perhaps we've not used these specific words, But our prayer is that more Azarias are raised up, that God raises up more people amongst us who have got a heart for his purposes and are willing to serve at the cause of not the king on earth, but the king of heaven. And then when Azariah gets to position, or he's been raised to some kind of prominence, or he's at least come to the awareness of the writers and the awareness of the king, what is it that happens? Well, verse 1, the Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." So under the anointing of the Spirit's power, Azariah speaks a word which is a real word of encouragement to King Asa, and it affects the course of the nation. Now, Asa was one of the better kings of Judah. What is going on, if you don't know this period in the scriptures well, is that it's just after the sort of Davidic line has come to the end, and then we've got these series of kings in Israel and Judah. The nation splits into those two parts, and we've got this series of kings. Most of them are pretty bad. Asa is one of the good ones on the whole. He's one of the better kings of Judah, the southern part of what we now know as Israel. He removed the pagan statues, which was more than most of the other kings did. But he stopped short of dealing with all the false gods and all the false idols that were in the land. And we know that if we want to walk fully in the purposes of God, if we want to fully pursue all that God has for us, then actually we need something of a single-minded devotion to God. It's not a case of having, a following after God and a bit of kind of paganism over here, and a following after God, but we'll just supplement that with a bit of yoga over here, or following after God, and we'll just have a bit of Buddhism there, and a bit of reading the horoscopes here, and a kind of bit of this, that, and everything else, because that just enriches my life a little bit and makes me a bit broader. Scripture says you'll worship the Lord your God and only Him. You have no other gods before Him. So Asa's task is to deal with all of this false kind of statues and false idols that are in the land, but it seems that he stopped short. How do we know that? Because in later on in chapter 15, verse 9 and onwards, they begin to deal with these things which are still in the land. And the text implies, verse 7 and verse 8, I think, "As for you, be strong, do not give up." When Asa heard these words, he took courage, and then verse 8, it was, they removed the idols. He removed the detestable idols. It suggests that Asa the king was actually fairly weak. He'd made certain reforms, he'd cleared out a load of the bad stuff, but he stopped short of following through the job because he was afraid, really, of the consequences. Asa was stuck in fear, and here comes Azariah, whose role is to impart courage. And that is exactly what is going on when we encourage somebody else. We give them, so to speak, if we do it properly, a kind of shot in the arm of courage. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Azariah, and he gives courage to the king. He emboldens the king. And how we need more encouragers around. There's a thing on Facebook not so long ago, which was a list of what the church needed. And at the very top of the list was people that encourage. And it said something like, "People who have a bent towards criticism and complaining need not apply." Okay, we're all good, aren't we, at critiquing the other and complaining when one of our contemporaries falls short of the mark. It's easy for many of us to get into. And sometimes we're not brilliant at encouraging. We need people like Azariah who will listen to the Spirit and be faithful in sharing what God says encourage the leaders, encourage fellow believers, that therefore we might walk in all that God has for us. And folks, I would love us to be even more encouraging. Now, many of you are really good at this already, all right? But I wonder what the church would look like if even more so we were cheering one another on. Wouldn't that be a cool place to be? Where the attitude is, we want everyone else to do well. Me and various people of the leadership team were at a conference or a kind of weekend of seminars just, I think it was last weekend. It feels like a longer time ago than that. And one of the values of this seminar, we're on a 2-year rotation, which we've just finished, and so we've met 4 times in this format. And it's one of the values every time, and they reminded us of it, that the attitude is we want everybody to win. So 6 church leadership teams in the room, or 8 maybe, 8 church leadership teams in the room, we're one of them. And the idea is that we're all inputting and working together, conversing, because we actually want everybody else to do well. There's this attitude of encouragement, wanting the best for others. And of course, encouragement is something that most of the time costs very little, but that has a huge impact. What difference did it make, I wonder, to Asa to receive this message? Well, it made a big difference. Suddenly he has the ability to deal with the root cause of the nation's evil. Verse 8, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns they'd captured, blah, 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 blah. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Courage led to confident action. So I wonder, when were you last encouraged? Excellent. You don't need to give me the answer. You can do if you want. I'm quite up for it. What were the circumstances? What did it feel like? What difference did it make to you? Did it make you feel good? Did it make you feel courageous? Did it make you think, wow, I could do even more? You see, God raised up Azariah for such a time as this to be a real blessing to Asa. And so the purposes of the nation, and therefore the purposes of God, because at this time they're synonymous, can increase. So what is encouragement? Well, it is the spurring of each other on. How do we encourage? Well, look what Asa does. He affirms what God is doing. God is with you. The Lord is with you when you are with him, says Azariah. God is with, he is alongside. So we're pointing out what God is doing in somebody. We're affirming somebody. We're perhaps thanking somebody for something that they've done in the Lord's service. How do we do it? Well, just by saying to somebody, I thought that was really good. I always like it when I see you here. I love sitting next to you. You're so friendly. You know, you do a really good job of opening the doors at the end of church, whatever. Do you know, actually, the sound is usually really good here. Thanks so much for sitting on the desk virtually every Sunday night for the last 6 months. We really appreciate it. Or, the screens only went wrong once this evening. Thanks for the 40 other times that you did it perfectly. I'm picking on people, it's unfair really, but I'm sort of joking, although there's some seriousness in it. Not the complaint about the one that went wrong, but just that we often don't go out of our way to encourage people that are serving us. Or, you know, I really love the way you... You need to be appropriate with it. I was about to say, I love the way you smile at me, but you need to be appropriate with this. You know, I love the way that you just get alongside people. I love how you do this. I love the way that you decorate the flowers, whatever. You might send an email or a text with a scripture in. Just want you to know today, the Lord is with you. Don't forget today, I know you're going to a rubbish business meeting at work, but I've just been praying for you today. Just kind of, you know, remind you, the Lord says he will never leave you nor forsake you, for, you know, the Lord is my helper. Don't forget, there's nothing you're going into today that you go into without God. just little texts that or messages that affirm somebody. It might be you might want to write a letter. I was challenged a few years ago to write a letter to somebody that had been instrumental in our spiritual development. And I thought, well, you know, I'll write to my old youth worker who was significant in my discipleship and formation. And I thought as I did so, well, she knows that she had a huge impact. So I don't know why I'm doing this, but my Bible study said I had to do it. So, you know, I'm faithful. Off I went, write my letter. Thanks, Michelle, for all the time you gave. Thanks for all the wisdom, all the time you prayed for me. Thank you for, you know, blah, 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 getting Laura and I together and all this kind of stuff. And, of course, she writes back saying, oh, I never knew I had such an impact. It was great. You know, I was sat at my study that day thinking, what's the point? And I got your letter. Just gave me a shot in the arm. I just thought, wow, you know, God is using me for things. Praise people for doing well. Thank people for their time and dedication. Offer them affirming words or scripture that the Lord gives you. Tell other people that they are loved and valuable to God. But what is encouragement not? Well, it isn't flattery. So you're not just making something up to win their favor or pleasure. It is not, I hope it's right to say this, but it is not sucking up to people. You know, going over the top with praise because you're after their gratification, really. It's not speaking untruths. But you see, the thing is, psychologically, most of us, if we are encouraged, will go the extra mile. There are some exceptions, granted. But most of us, if we're encouraged, we will go the extra mile. In my last sermon in Burnley, I said to my congregation, who were working class, straight down the line, East Lancastrians, said, and not that they hadn't done it to me, they had very much so, but I reminded them that they probably would get most out of their next minister by regularly encouraging her. You probably won't get the best out of her by phoning her up and telling her all the things that she's got wrong and all the mistakes that she's made, even though she inevitably will make mistakes. She's a human being. But actually, you'll probably get the most out of her by saying, I really appreciate you coming to us. I really appreciate you coming to the place that land for, time forgot, but even Lancashire. I really appreciate all that you do. So just imagine the difference that you and I could make if we were open to the Lord's prompting to encourage one another more. And I'm not just talking within the arena of the church here. What would it mean if this week you went to your boss at Rolls or at Caterpillar or at school even and said, you've got a tough job. I just thank you that you're here each day doing it. I know people would rather die than have those conversations half the time. But, you know, I'm trying to say, what would it be like not just to contain this within the people of God, but next time you get on a bus saying, oh, thanks so much. It's boiling hot today. It can't be great fun you doing this, but I'm really glad you're driving the bus. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Or, you know, the bin man or whatever it is. Bin woman, bin person. Imagine the difference you could make if you were open to the Lord's prompting to encourage one another more. Look at the impact that the words of Azariah had. The nation was changed. Asa takes decisive action, and the whole nation turned to the Lord and renewed their covenant promises. Asa had the heart, and he had the desire to do it, but Azariah's faithfulness gave the kind of shot of courage from the Lord to fulfill what God wanted. And maybe your faithfulness to encourage somebody could change the course of history. Just because you said, Lord, who can I encourage today? And were faithful in doing so. So I wonder this week, I just want to set you a challenge. We're going to do a bit of it now, but maybe set you a challenge during this week. Just to come before the Lord in your quiet time or prayer time, whatever it is, or when you're driving the egg van or whatever it might be, and say, Lord, who is it that you would like me to encourage today? And I've just got a sneaky feeling that the Lord would answer that prayer and probably provide an opportunity to follow through on it. And that could be
by sending a letter, it could be by face-to-face, it could be by text. Who is it, Lord, you would like me to encourage today? And I wonder if we could pray that in the next day, three or four times in the next week. I wonder what difference that would make to the people that we encounter. And so we, rather than just leave that there and send you off to forget all about it, we're going to do a little bit of that now. So on your tables, you've got just some slips of paper cut up and a few pens. And I'm not asking you to write an essay, but I'm just asking you, we'll pray for us in a moment, just to come before the Lord and ask the Lord that question. Who is it, Lord, you would have me encourage this week, and how? And so you may want to, on that piece of paper, write a name, and you might want to run underneath, I'm going to text them, or I'm going to send them a card, or I'm going to phone them up, whatever it might be. So you don't need to write the nature of the encouragement. And I just want you to take that piece of paper away with you, stick it in your Bible, stick it on the fridge, stick it somewhere where you're going to see it, and make sure, at the very least, you act on that one in the next week to be a messenger of encouragement to whoever it is the Lord lays on your heart.